about today's message?
No more rain.
Amen. Say it one more time.
No more rain.
Amen. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever been standing in line a long time and you can't wait to get out of that line? You counting how you move up, and then somebody in front of you have the nerve to tell somebody else, come on up here in front of me. How does that make you feel inside? Have you ever been stuck on traffic on I-90 trying to get down there to Dead Man's Curve where you're getting ready to turn and you finally get almost to the curb and you see this car zooming down on your right side in the rearview mirror and they got the nerve to get right there where you are and they get ready to cut in so they can go up I-90? What goes through your mind when that happens? Have you ever seen a parking space that you just knew you was going to get that parking space and you was waiting for that parking space and just as they pulled out and you got ready to go in, somebody slid right there in behind you? How many of you said, thank you, Jesus, you gave it to them? One day I was standing down on St. Clair across from the old Finest. And I saw this car pull up, and the guy, he had circled around the lot twice. And then he saw this car getting ready to pull out. And so he waited patiently for this car to pull out. But this other car came straight off the St. Clair, and the guy saw the guy pulling out, and he just went straight into the spot. And he thought nothing of it. He didn't see the other car. He got out of his car with a smile on his face, and he started heading toward the door. And finally, the other guy got out of the car, and he came over and as hard as he could, side to side on that guy's face. The guy had no reason, understanding whatsoever why this guy had hit him like that. There is something about somebody cutting in front of us that just gets on our nerves. All right. Any of you ever been to a track meet? Seen a track? You see all those lines they have painted on the track? There is a purpose for those lines. They go all the way around. The purpose of those lines is for the runner to know where it is he or she is supposed to run without cutting somebody else off. As long as you stay in your line, you don't cut people off. Those lines are there both to guide you as well as to protect you. Now in a moment you're going to see a clip of a guy who has dreamed of going to the Olympics. True story. He's worked hard, he has planned for it, he's trained, he's disciplined himself, he wants to represent his country. Now in the 100 meters, they usually put the three or four fastest guys in the inside lanes. Those are where people are usually going to win. People on the outside, if they win, they won because they were a long shot. Now I want us to see what happens to this guy as he runs the race that's going to launch him into his quest to be in the Olympics. Eric's turn. When the other runners stumbled in his lane and fell in the lane of two others. You see, he not only knocked out his dream, he knocked out the dreams of others. You see, when you run in the lane God has set for your life, not only do your dreams become reality, but other people's dreams can become reality too. But when you stumble, you don't know how many other lives you ruin in the process. On any given day, you can look in the newspaper and you can see somebody who stumbled. What you don't see is those who fell down with them. Put the lights down. Alright. That's to keep me from having rabbit ears during the service. Alright. When you look in the paper and you see somebody who has fallen, there is always somebody else who went with them because of a host of bad choices. And you know what? it's usually the person who is closest to them that end up suffering. Now, we are all like runners on a track. Tell your neighbor, you are a runner. We got two other people running with us. We only win that day if the right person wins. You see, we are racing against who we are, who we were, and who we could be in God. Who we were and who we are always trying to cut in on us. Who we were represents those temptations and desires. It desires for us to stop running the race altogether and get on another track and go somewhere else. The other fellow, who we are, says, it does not take all that running to win. You just need to sit back, sit down, get you some rest, catch your breath, and we'll get back up later. You fine just like you are. Who needs to grow and change? So we got both of these characters trying to cut in all of us to keep us from becoming what God wants us to be. Both of them wants to rob us of something we could have in God. And what we need to say is, there will be no more cutting in. God has a better plan for our life. Now in our Old Testament, New Testament reading, we came across a verse in Galatians 5:7, which says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Now, already, since you've been here in church this morning, you've been running a race. Even sending the you have been running a race. Let me ask you this. Did the other person cut in on you and hinder your worship? Did they try talking to you to get your attention off God? Did you help the person next to you run this morning? Y'all ain't telling the truth. The scripture says you were running the race well. All right. But somebody cut in on you.
All right,
now, some of you young folks, your grades were not always as bad as they were on this year's report card. And it doesn't have anything with you being dumber today than you were last year. It's just that you let somebody cut in on you. You were running well. You know how you used to feel about your parents? You used to think they were pretty smart, had a little wisdom to help you out. Now you think they don't know nothing. And every time they ask you to say something, everything that comes out is back talk. You were running well. But somebody or something is cut in on you, and you become a different person. You know how it used to be, how you, on Valentine's Day, when you as married couples, you look forward to your husband and your wife on Valentine's Day, and even more so on Valentine's night. Whoa, you look forward to that. But now it's just another day. Because you allow something else to cut in on you, and you're no longer running the race well. You were running well for the Lord. You used to serve the Lord with gladness in your heart. When we needed volunteers, we could depend on you being there. You were running well. And then you allowed something or somebody to cut in on you. And now all of a sudden we can't even get you to volunteer to do anything. You're nowhere around when it comes to ministry. We say clean and before we get to the end, you're gone. You were running well. You were running well in your giving. You finally got to the point where you almost was where you should have been. And now you've decided, I'm cutting back here. And now, you know, should have stayed in Georgia. One of the things about Jesus is that Jesus knew when somebody was trying to cut in on him. He knew when somebody was trying to cut in on him and give him a shortcut to fame, a shortcut to, well, a shortcut to avoid things he didn't like. And you see, sometimes it was the devil trying to cut in on him, but sometimes it was his own disciples trying to cut in on him. He told the devil, "It is written." He told Peter, "Peter, get behind me. I don't need to listen to what it is that you are trying to say." Now, in our Old Testament reading, we met a prophet of God whom God had given a message to give directly to the king. I preached the first part of this message at the end of the year. Some of you might remember good old King Jeroboam. It was the message I almost finished well. Well, the king had been living in sin. He had been disobeying God. And the prophet came and told it like it was to the king, straight to his face, didn't say anything behind his back, embarrassed the king. King got angry, upset. King says, "Seize that man!" Because the king was going to have him arrested, thrown in prison, probably going to have his head cut off, and everything was going according to the king's plan until he tried to pull his arm back and it wouldn't come back in. And he changed from "seize that prophet" to "Mr. Prophet, could you please pray for my arm?" And the prophet did, and when he did, the king's arm came back naturally. And the king told him, he says, "Man, I'm going to give you the best meal you ever ate in your life." And he says, "And not only that, I am going to give you a wonderful gift." Now, most of us would have been shouting, "Hallelujah, God used me." But the prophet said, man of God asked the king there in 1 Kings 13, 8 through 10, he says, "Even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came." So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. How many of you know this prophet here is running well? He went where God told him to go. He said what God told him to say. He wouldn't take anything, no matter how much they tried to bribe him. Wouldn't eat, wouldn't take money. He went with the motto, "Nobody's cutting in on me when I go do what God told me to do." And the word about this guy spread about like wildfire. Here was a guy that not only stood up to the king, he also healed the king. And when the king offered him a whole bunch of money, he turned it down. Yeah. Now, how many of y'all know he really was saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized when he did that? Well, two fellows, they went home and they told their father, won't believe what happened down there with the king. And they went through the old story, and their father says he was an old prophet. I think he probably was an old backslidden prophet. But he asked, he says, "Well, which way did this man of God from Judah go?" Now, because he wanted to go and catch up with him. Now, how many of you know, if the first prophet had left with the sense of urgency he first received from God, there is no way this second prophet is going to catch him. Because God made it clear, do what you got to do, get out of there, don't hang around. But the scripture says to us, instead of going back home to Judah, he stopped to rest under a tree. So the second prophet is coming up and he sees him and he comes up to him and he says, "Say, are you the man of God from Judah that spoke to the king?" He probably thought the guy wanted his autograph or something. He's like, "Yeah, I'm the one. That's me." Now, why is this guy hanging around in a land he does not belong? Have you ever done that? You hung around in a land you didn't belong? How many of you know you don't have to go far to do that? You just kind of hanging around somewhere you don't belong? Now, sweetheart, pretend like you didn't hear this message. Satan. Close her up in your ear. Any of you guys ever been like me? Waiting for your wife to come out the bathroom. And you got the remote channel. And you just clicking through channels. And you come across a channel. And you stayed on that channel 15 seconds longer than you should have. And it wasn't because they had a giant fish on the fisherman channel that you wanted to see. Is there any other man that's willing to be crucified instead of you?
Outstanding,
high moral character, depend on this person, whatever, whatever, whatever. And marriage. Y'all have got me away from my marriage. The old prophet came home with the guy, came up to the guy, and he said, says to him, he says, come home with me and get a little bite to eat. And the first prophet says, man, I can't go home with you even if I wanted to. For the Lord told me, don't eat or don't drink, don't even return by the way you came home. Now, if he knew God said that, why is he still hanging around under this tree? The best way for him to become what God wants him to become is to keep on moving. Stop hanging around places where temptation is lurking. Do you know why we do it? It's because we hope sooner or later we're going to hear what we want to hear so that we go ahead and do what we really wanted to do in the first place. The old prophet told him, he says, look, an angel came to me by the word of the Lord and told me to come get you, to take you back to my house so that you can eat and drink with me. But the scripture says he was lying to his fellows. Friends, when we just hanging around, waiting, how many of you know a lie can seem real sweet to the ears? This first prophet had been running the race, and he had been running it well, and now he's about to let somebody else come cutting in and rob him of what God had for him. You know, he's counting on the fact that I was successful against temptation today, so I ain't got to worry about it tomorrow. One of the things we need to know as a Christian is that we are not the same person today as we were yesterday or the day before that. Now you see, when the temptation came to you the first time, you was able to look at that thing in the eye and say, devil, I rebuke you. Get behind me. But you see, that day, you was on the top of the world. And nothing was going to knock you down. But today, you got up. You was already a little depressed. Now you feel like, don't nobody care about me. Don't nobody like me. Don't this, that, or the other. Here come the same temptation. And they say, boy, you sure looking fine today. Boom, just gave you a rush. You can't hardly stop yourself from going on over there. Same person, same temptation, completely different circumstances. And you see, sometimes God knows that we can just be stupid. I'm talking about me too. And see, sometimes God knows we can be stupid, so God says, I gotta help him out today. So sometimes God will drop something right in front of you. So there goes that temptation. And you heading for it. And you just happen to see somebody from the church and they say, hey, how you doing? I handle it. believe. One other thing the prophet told him, he said, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, you will not be buried with your fathers. The guy must have thought he was joking with him or something. But anyways, he finished eating, drinking. I'm going home now. He got on his donkey and headed out. Never made it back to Judah. A lion came out of the woods and tore him to pieces. And God says, just so you know, this wasn't an accident. When the lion finished with him, he didn't touch the donkey. Matter of fact, the lion and the donkey stood side by side over this ripped up body. That's what happened when you allow somebody else to cut in on you. Galatians 5:7, the church at Galatia. Paul says, church, you were running a good race. Why did you let somebody cut in and keep you from obeying the truth? You know, the Apostle Paul often describes the Christian walk as a race. Now, that means that we got to, first of all, enter the race. We got to run well. We got to go by the rules. We got to keep moving without stopping or turning back, no matter what obstacles come our way. The Galatians, they were running well. They had accepted the gospel of salvation. They had believed. They were living out their faith. They were allowing the word of God to shape their lives. They were obeying the truth. They weren't sitting around under a tree. They were running. What does this say to us? It means it can happen to any of us. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. Despite having that good start out of the box, someone had come and cut in on them. And in that clip, all those months of training that the guy had done were wiped out by one single racer coming into his lane, thus causing him to go out of bounds by stumbling. You see, some of us have this idea that Jesus is like a badge that we kind of clip on. And because we clipped on this badge, we think we're safe. Jesus isn't something you clip on. When you come to Jesus, to give your heart to Christ means your entire life belongs to Him. No matter where you are, who you are with, your entire life belongs with Him. We are running a race. We're not out for some little pity-pity job. Because Satan is trying to destroy you all along the way. You know, I want us to know that everybody who comes to our church is not sent here from God. Satan sends his own people here who is intent to keep you from running the race God has for your life. And sometimes they use threats and they use ridicule to get us to discard the Bible's truth. I am always amazed at how people will worship other people with a zeal that's unbelievable. Whether it's a singer, an actor, a rapper, or a performer, they go crazy. Just say the person is coming. So, he touched me. He thought Jesus himself had touched him. He touched me. Hey, no, no, watch this. Not again. And all it is just a person. You see, we go crazy worshiping false gods. You know, I don't care who the singer is that's on top. That person isn't the only person with a voice that sounds like that. That person just happened to have been chosen be singing, "Whoa!" And another thing I can't understand. I told the first service I was going to have to go to a club one night. Because I just, every time I see a glimpse of them on the news, I see them, "Whoa! Whoa! Whoa! Whoa!" Making an absolute fool of themselves.
Even like, I can't even stand There are places of just hanging around that I need to turn over to Jesus. What is your life going to look like if you allow the person God is calling you to be to stay ahead in the race? I can tell you right now, if you're a young person, 10 years from now, you're going to have a college degree, and you will have escaped a life of poverty.
Amen.
You will have missed the rite of passage of going to jail, and not even have to worry about that on your record. For us as adults, we will find a far more rewarding life. We will discover what a joy it is to be a blessing to other people. You know, when you get to the end of your life, you are not going to look back and be so happy over everything that you have for yourself. But you'll have a lot of good memories when you can think of who it was you blessed. You're going to discover that God can bless your life in ways that you never would have imagined. You got to know what it is to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are all running this race of life. We all got different lanes that we're running in, but we all got to go through death in order to get to the finish line. You can say, I want to run my own way, and I really don't need God right now. That might be true from your perspective, but tomorrow is coming. And none of us know what tomorrow is bringing with us. Those two runners that were running well, they had no